It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll check in on the latest in the presidential campaign with Harry Enten.
First, Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton made history by becoming the first woman to cinch the delegate count for a majority party nomination this week. And last night, she referenced the Seneca Falls Convention of 1848, which took place in New York, where she gave her speech.
Clinton has long talked about overcoming barriers to women in politics and public life. Here's a clip from 1969 when she gave a commencement speech to her graduation class.
We're not in the positions yet of leadership and power, but we do have that indispensable element of criticizing and constructive protest.
And here's her concession speech that we were referencing there in 2008.
Although we weren't able to shatter that highest, hardest glass ceiling this time, thanks to you, it's got about 18 million cracks in it. Thanks to you, we've reached a milestone. The first time in our nation's history that a woman will be a major party's nominee.
That was, of course, her speech yesterday, accepting the apparent nomination of the Democratic Party. Amid the excitement on Clinton's side, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders still has many supporters who say they'll continue campaigning for him until the Democratic National Convention this summer. Kelly Dittmar joins us now. She's assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University, a scholar at the Center for American Women in Politics. Kelly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Kelly, how has Hillary Clinton been talking about the significance of being the first woman in this position lately as a major party presidential nominee?
I think as you played, last night's speech really began with putting herself in a historical context. So between references to her own mother being born at the time women won the right to vote, to her point that her victory belongs to generations of men and women who sacrificed to make this moment possible, right? She said that in her speech. So I think that includes the women candidates for president who've come before her, from Victoria Woodhull, who was the first to run in 1872, to Shirley Chisholm, who became the first woman to win votes at a major party convention 100 years later. So all these women really helped to disrupt our expectations of who can be president, even if they faced incredibly long odds themselves. And I think what Clinton did a bit in her speech last night is sort of give a nod to the women who've come before her. She's also highlighted the symbolic importance of her bid, especially for young women, coding a note on social media saying, you know, to every little girl that dreams, yes, you can be anything you want, including president. So I think both symbolically and putting herself in historical context, she's talked about the importance of being the first woman presumptive nominee.
Is this different than her campaign back in 2008, which then-Senator Barack Obama eventually won? I remember talk that she was playing down her identity as a woman running for president that time.
Definitely. In 2008, she talked a lot about not running as a woman. So I'm not running as a woman candidate. I'm running to be the most qualified candidate. In this cycle, she's shifted her tune a little bit and talked about gender as one among many merits that she would bring to the presidency. I think being freer than she was in 2008 and probably more true to herself. And she talked specifically about some distinct ways in which her perspective and experience as a woman in a world that is not gender neutral by any means would really be a value added to how she does the job. So I think that she's been embracing her gender identity and her experience as a woman much more this year than she did in 2008.
You'd think with the first major party presidential candidate, a woman in this election, that would be maybe the hottest topic, one of the hottest topics between now and November. Is that going to be crowded out, do you think, by other factors, policy debates, experience, very different resumes for the candidates, establishment versus outsider party politics? Is the issue of her being a woman really going to be front and center here?
It'll be front and center, but I do think it's important that we all take this moment now and as well as the convention when she officially becomes the nominee to celebrate the moment in U.S. history. Whether or not you like Hillary Clinton as a candidate, to note that this is a really important site for progress. Now, how important it will be in terms of the debates and strategy going forward will sort of depend on how much the candidates themselves make it an issue. So as we talked about, I think Hillary Clinton will mention it. I think she will mention the historical nature of her candidacy. But obviously, even last night, she pivoted very quickly to the contrast on policy issues and really on philosophy of what she wants to see in the country, in contrast to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has accused her of playing the woman card and has really talked about this repeatedly. And so he may actually bring this issue to the forefront, whether his intention is to focus on the historical nature of her candidacy or not. He may actually make it more of an issue than even her campaign would have.
We'll dig a little more into the specifics of a Clinton-Trump campaign here, but I want to ask that idea of cracking and now breaking through this glass ceiling. Does this have powerful symbolic value? Is this something that you think will lead to more women being involved in electoral politics at higher levels?
I think anytime we can sort of disrupt the image of what it looks like to be a politician, and in this case, to be president of the United States, so that women and young women in particular can see themselves in that role, there's a positive effect. That said, there are some potential dangers in some way of having a woman candidate be exposed to some of the sexism or bias that is already out there. In 2008, after Hillary Clinton ran and was subject to some of that bias, we did see some women report in some surveys that it made them think twice about running for office, that this was hard, and that in some cases there was some continued gender double standards that women would face when they ran. And so I think there's a little bit of the risk of that always when we put a woman on the national stage, and she may be subject to some of that negativity. But I do think the positive message of this campaign and influencing of showing that a woman can and should lead not only the country but lead in her community and at other levels of office is really important to emphasize as we go throughout this campaign.
We're talking about women in politics and Hillary Clinton in the presidential campaign with Kelly Dittmar, political scientist at Rutgers University. I've seen some polling suggesting a really big, I don't know, maybe even unprecedented gender gap when it comes to support for Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. What are you seeing?
Yes. I mean, the national polls, as you know, are a little hard to pin down at this point and a little unreliable. But it is useful to look at those polls in comparison to how other candidates have done in previous years and also to the sort of final election count that we saw in 2008, 2012, and years prior. So we have seen a persistent gender gap since 1980, meaning that women are more likely than men to vote for the a Democratic candidate. And so we're seeing that gender gap in matchups between Clinton and Donald Trump. And to some degree, they are either on par with or greater than what we saw for Barack Obama. I think the biggest distinction is that we're seeing Donald Trump do particularly badly in comparison to his Republican predecessors among women voters specifically. So he's polling somewhere in the 30s in recent national polls with women, and no Republican presidential candidate has polled below 40% in the last 20 to 30 years.
How about a generation gap in women's support for Hillary Clinton? A narrative in the primary was older women see the historic value of a female candidate. Maybe that's part of it. They were more likely to support Hillary Clinton. Younger women, not necessarily going for Bernie Sanders and his more progressive vision. How did you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think those generational differences, and I often couch it in terms of the difference between idealism and pragmatism. Always among younger voters, we've seen a real desire for more of an idealistic and even revolutionary view of politics, the wanting to disrupt the status quo. And so that generational difference was really evident in the race between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and it was persistent among both women and men. In other words, young women were just as likely as young men to support Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. However, young women still were more likely than young men to support Hillary Clinton. So that gender gap we talked about was actually persistent even among a younger generation of voters. I think that beyond the overall philosophy by generation, It's important to note that young women and young men do see the value in electing a woman president and making change and moving towards equality, particularly the Bernie Sanders supporters. But they don't see necessarily the urgency of electing this woman. They believe a woman will be president in their lifetime, and so they're okay with passing up this opportunity if they don't believe that she aligns with their philosophy or political priorities.
As we wrap up, how do you see, you mentioned the way the two candidates, Trump and Clinton, would be running. How much will we see references to the woman card or the man card as we go to November?
You know, I think Donald Trump has been, if you want to say it, playing the man card, you know, very strongly throughout this race. He's really adhered to sort of very traditional norms and expectations of masculinity in this race. And so in some ways, the way in which he's perform gender is even more interesting than the questions we're asking sometimes about Hillary Clinton and her playing the woman card. So I think it's important for us to be talking about gender in relation to both candidates and the ways in which they navigate gender stereotypes that are really still entrenched in presidential politics, and also how they disrupt those so that candidates who run in the future might not have to stick to what is traditionally expected of men or traditionally expected of women.
Kelly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Kelly Dittmar, assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University and a scholar at the Center for American Women in Politics. She talked to us about the historic significance of Hillary Clinton clinching the delegate count for the Democratic nomination.